Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to listen to more of America This Week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
We are back. You're listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129, and we're talking with Father Jack Wall of the Catholic Extension Society about the good work they've been doing for so long, for over 100 years, a lot of it along the border with Mexico, which is what we've been talking about. And you are a papal society, and we want to say today is the feast day, the first feast day of St. John Paul II, so an appropriate day for you to be here.
Absolutely.
Well, maybe we can transition to talking about the Lumen Christi Award, which this year focused on some of the work of the sisters, some sisters who work on the border in Brownsville. Maybe you can talk about them.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, a little bit of history of the award. It's given every year to some of our hidden heroes of the American Catholic Church who are serving in some of the poorest communities throughout the United States. And this year, we're very, very honored to honor three sisters from Brownsville, Texas, and they are working in a little community called Las Palmas. And these three sisters are with the community of the Immaculate Heart, Missionary Sisters of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And they have done a remarkable job just doing what Pope Francis says, go to the most challenging places and listen. And they listened deeply to the people of this community, and it was a very, very challenging place. All along in the border, there are communities called colonias, which is the same thing as kind of a shanty town. There is no, often there are no potable water, no electricity, no plumbing. And people build little communities there, often with trailers, et cetera. And these three sisters went into this community and just did some very deep listening to the people that are there and gradually began a community, an experience there that built up this community into a very, very resourceful community with one another. Obviously, addressing issues around children, their education, also around adults who were trying to deal with some of the real issues of language difficulties and other challenges, and then some of the social issues that they're facing as well. Gradually from this, at the heart of all this was a people of faith, right. And they wanted to do what Pope Francis challenges us to. He said one of the most deep expressions of poverty is spiritual poverty, when you're not given the opportunity to really come to celebrate and to experience the power of God and the power of faith in your life. So gradually, they literally built a parish there. The diocese finally established it with sent a priest to them. But it was all because of this very groundbreaking work of three missionary sisters. And they really symbolize what's going on in our country. When you look at the face of ministry of the Catholic Church in the poorest areas, so often it's the face of a woman religious. Mm-hmm. And they have been very successful in often large metropolitan dioceses, heading up hospitals and heading up schools and universities, very highly educated. But at the later season of their life, when they could kind of maybe, I suppose, run off to a mother house and retire, they choose to literally die with their boots on. And you'll find them all over our country really living this life dedicated to the poorest of the poor of our United States. And so we're very honored to announce that they are the Lumen Christi recipients, and we give a financial award with it that continues to help them in their ministry.
And they were nominated by their bishop, were they not?
By Bishop Flores, yes. Yeah. All the nominees are nominated by the bishops of the local dioceses.
Okay. Well, you can join the conversation at 888-322-CATHOLIC. That's 888-322-8865. And the thing that really strikes me is that, you know, I was at a panel last week talking about polarization in the church at Georgetown University, and we were revisiting this age-old question, the academic question of how is the church public? How can the church be public in a pluralistic society and in America today, right? It's this question of the great John Courtney Murray. And one of the things that I sat there thinking as we were having this conversation is, you know, the church already is public. Right, there isn't a social challenge in this country that is going unaddressed by the Catholic Church.
This is absolutely true. And when you really get into the poorest communities, it's the only institution that is standing up for people who are poor. there's no other choice. I mean, there's no other kind of infrastructure. When you go to the big dioceses in the country, you see all kinds of different ways, including the great universities, that express our Catholic life in that dialogue with our culture. But in the poorest communities, the church is everything. And their faith is central to their life. And what has been absolutely mind-boggling to me is to witness the power of faith.
Right.
And, you know, we're not into that ideological struggles in Catholic Extension.
Right.
All we are about is building up Catholic faith communities and watch what happens.
Right. Exactly. In other words, let's just get on with the work of helping people.
Do you think those faith connections could help us at a particularly troubling time on the immigration issue where there's such divisions and, you know, people, you know, are justly concerned about the security of the border, but we're also called as Catholics to welcome the stranger, which is a radical call. Do you think these connections that you're forging can maybe help get us past some of these divisions?
I would hope so. There's a wonderful article in USA Today on the whole question of immigration in the United States. And one of the things that they were kind of stressing is clearly there are issues, and clearly we have to come up with a bipartisan approach to immigration and migration policies in the United States. But that's an issue, public policy. But there's the other pastoral issue, and that is just how do faith-filled people respond to their brothers and sisters in faith and see the gift of one another. One of the things in the article today in the paper was the great blessing that immigration has meant to the United States. We are a people of immigrants. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to go far in our own family histories to reach back and remember the stories of what happened when our families came to this country and they were dirt poor. And the one institution that met them was the Catholic Church. Mayor Koch, speaking to Cardinal Dolan, before he died, Cardinal Dolan first came, said, you know, when people came over from Europe, when immigrants came over from Europe, they met two ladies when they sailed into New York Harbor. One of them was Lady Liberty, the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, right.
But the other, and these were the words of Mayor Koch, Holy Mother Church. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going on along all these communities that we're serving. It's Holy Mother Church that is meeting the children of the church, we, the brothers and sisters together, and saying, you're a blessing. You're not just a problem. You're not a victim, but you're a blessing. You've got God at work in you. And these families are deeply aspirational. They're deeply entrepreneurial. They're deeply faith-filled. They have wonderful family values. I mean, this is a blessing to us as American Catholics. And I think we should discover ways to experience that blessing to the whole church in the United States. Mm-hmm.
Well, you're listening to America This Week on Sirius XM Channel 129, the Catholic channel, and we are talking with Father Jack Wall about all of the work that Catholic Extension, the organization that he heads, is supporting in this country to help those who are living on the margins of society. And you can join the conversation. What is the Catholic Church doing in your community? Should it be doing something different? At 1-888-322-CATHOLIC. It's interesting, Father Jack, that, you know, when you were talking about how immigration is such a huge part of the story of this country, tonight I'm going up to my hometown diocese, as it were, the Diocese of Fall River, to talk about Catholic education. And you know, at the beginning of my talk, I'm going to mention that, you know, my grandfather came to the Diocese of Fall River at the age of 11 years old in 1910 to work in the mills there. And if it were not for the church that embraced him and helped him and his aunt, you know, find food, find shelter, find work, but also helped to protect him from the work that he was doing, he would not have been able to succeed. And he certainly wouldn't have become a vice president of Lever Brothers with a sixth grade education, right?
Exactly.
And but it's exactly that. And he would remind us time and time again, you know, that the church was the instrument that made his success possible, not just in the material sense, but in the heartfelt spiritual sense as well.
And we just heard a story the other day about this this Father Kelly, when this built this Mexican seminary for the young men who were kicked out of Mexico at the time. One of the young men who studied there went back to Mexico. And one of the things he did was help to found an order of women religious missionaries. And one of the newest programs in Catholic Extension has been a program in which sisters from Latin America are coming to serve as missionaries in the United States.
Right.
That the group that's coming in to serve as missionaries were founded by this priest that Father Kelly helped back 100 years ago. So it's a similar story.
Isn't that extraordinary?
This, in the church blessing each generation with new possibilities and raising up the talents and giftedness of people like your grandfather and people like these women religious that are going to be helping in the poorest communities.
Right.
What I'm also impressed with is the work that you do, not just at the moment when these folks cross the border, which obviously is essential, but also to continue as they settle into their new communities. And they're going to communities where there may not be a lot of Latinos or Hispanics living. And then also when you have young generations of Hispanic priests and leaders, and to bring them and help them become the next leaders in the church. So to continue that journey from crossing into the United States, but growing into the new generation of Catholic leaders.
Tim, that's really true. And as I mentioned, there's 94 dioceses, and we go all the way from Fairbanks, Alaska, down to Puerto Rico. So it covers the vast majority of the United States and a lot of different ethnic communities, et cetera. But leadership across the board is an issue for the future. And we have to raise up young leaders for our faith and for our parishes and church communities. And there's two programs that we have recently inaugurated. One has been actually historically one of our most important thing, and that is to help educate future priests in the United States. So we help subsidize the tuition of over 600 young men studying for the priesthood. One of the great surprises that happened to me is how many of these dioceses are blessed with vocations.
Yeah.
Arkansas, the diocese of Little Rock in Arkansas, which comprises the whole state, has 125,000 Catholics, registered Catholics. They have over 40 seminarians.
Isn't that extraordinary?
So that'd be like several parishes in a large metropolitan diocese together. So one of the things we do is support them. The other is, it's so important, this has always been historically true in every ethnic group, how important it is to have leaders from your own ethnic community and your own culture and your own language, etc. And so one of our commitments is to create 100 new Hispanic lay leaders in dioceses all over the country. And it's seen as one of the most dramatic things that's going on in the United States right now, to bring young people into leadership positions in ministry in the dioceses of the United States.
And are they being trained at the parish level?
They're being trained in many different ways. One of them is through Catholic universities. So tonight I'm going to be at Fordham. And Fordham University has had a wonderful history of being a partner with us in terms of training future lay leaders in mission dioceses. And so we're having a forum there tonight at Tognino Hall in the Bronx campus there at 6 o'clock tonight.
And that's open to the public?
It's open to the public. We'd love to have people come to it. But it's one of those joint ventures and strategic partnerships that we're working with the Catholic universities of the United States to train its future leaders and to give them very highly qualified leaders to go back into youth ministry, young adult ministry, catechesis, etc.
Well, you're listening to America This Week from America Magazine. I'm Father Matt Malone, and we're talking with Father Jack Wall from Catholic Extension about all of the work that they are supporting, the programs they're supporting to help people who are living on the margins and what we call mission dioceses in this country. And you are from the Archdiocese of Chicago, where Catholic Extension is headquartered, and you're getting a new archbishop. And traditionally, the Archbishop of Chicago has a kind of special relationship with Catholic Extension. Isn't that true?
That's true. From the very beginning, Chicago has taken a leadership role in this missionary effort across the United States. And the Archbishop of Chicago is always the chancellor of Catholic Extension. And so the Pope has just recently appointed Bishop Blaise Supich, who has been a missionary bishop, a mission diocese bishop in two places, in Rapid City, South Dakota, and also in Spokane, Washington. And so he's coming now as the Archbishop of Chicago and the Chancellor of Catholic Extension. He's headed up our mission committee for many, many years, for 5 years now, and has really been a critical leader to help us develop strategic initiatives that really help the church in its pastoral mission throughout the United States.
So he brings a real lived experience of pastoring to the kinds of people that you're trying to help.
Absolutely. I mean, I used to always say you can always tell someone with a pastor's heart. Mm-hmm. And he has a pastor's heart, but he also has this missionary's heart, a missionary heart. And he really has the sense of, you know, what you began in the discussion this morning on the air. How do we reach out to the periphery, as Pope Francis is suggesting to us, not just, you know, kind of bringing help to others, but to really see what the live faith is in communities throughout the United States, and to listen deeply to the concerns of people and to the hopes and aspirations of people. And that's what Catholic Extension does.
And that was one of the key pieces of Bishop Šupić's comments when he came to Chicago after the announcement, was that we need to work on the art of listening. And what I really like about what you were talking about in Brownsville is that this wasn't a top-down approach, right? The sisters went into this community and they listened with the people and they lived with the people and heard from them what they needed and then undertook an effort to provide that. And it's really pastoring from the bottom up, isn't it?
Yes. And when you go throughout the United States, you see so many people who are doing the heavy lifting of the Catholic experience in the poorest communities. But Catholic Extension is kind of a partner to them. So, you know, the church, Jesus keeps on saying, go out two by two, right, and as missionaries. And Catholic Extension is the rest of the American Catholic community who partner and walk with these communities in the poorest areas. We help fund those efforts through the generosity of tens of thousands of Catholics in the United States.
Now, you spoke a bit about the tradition of social justice work in Chicago. One of the interesting things that came out of the announcement, the appointment of Archbishop Šupić, was that tradition that goes back to Cardinal Bernardine, continued through Cardinal George, this commitment to issues of social justice. So this is a long history in Chicago.
It is, and there's probably all kinds of reasons for it. But I think that, you know, the community itself always had this sense of partnership, especially between the lay Catholic and the ordained Catholics. And this may be a judgment, but I think the Pope is always kind of challenging the church around the issues of clericalism. And to kind of see that the ability to create these partnerships is very, very important. I always look at Catholic Extension as a lay movement. Mm. It's really the lay Catholics of the United States that embrace this missionary spirit and continue to support their fellow Catholics, and especially the missioners of our diocese, our country, in a very, very powerful way.
And one of the things that I was reading about Catholic Extension this morning, which just one piece of data that I thought was incredibly impressive, is that over the course of 100 years, in today's dollars, Catholic Extension has given out $1.2
billion. $1.2
billion.
And we've also built 12,000 churches, helped build 12,000 churches in the United States. There are dioceses in the country that every parish, every church building has been constructed through the support of Catholic Extension.
And the funds that Catholic Extension is able to give out, do those come from dioceses, from individuals? How does that work?
It's a lay movement, and mm-hmm. it's done through individuals. It's Catholics who, like tonight, today, are listening to this show, that become interested in what we're doing and choose to partner and become a mission partner with these missionaries throughout our country. So we take up no collections. There's no government funding. This is all about Catholics helping Catholics.
That's terrific. So if someone listening wanted to help, how would they go about doing it?
Well, the easiest thing is just to Google us, www.catholicextension.org. And, you know, everything is about telling stories. And we're absolutely convinced that, you know, God is the great storyteller, telling us his purposes in the people that are the people of God. And so our purpose is to really let people hear the great stories that are going on in us as American Catholics, to take great pride in it, but also take responsibility for the future of the Catholic Church in the United States. The gospel messages go out to the whole world, but I think we have a special responsibility to evangelize our own culture and our own nation.
Oh, absolutely.
I should also mention that you're on Facebook at facebook.com/Catholic Extension and Twitter, where your handle is @CATH Extension.
Okay. Well, we're big fans of Catholic Extension at America, and we're actually in conversations right now about how can we help you tell some of the stories that to a wider audience, and we're looking forward to working together on that.
Well, we really appreciate this opportunity to be on the air today with you, too. Thank you.
Yeah, Father Jack Wall of Catholic Extension, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to hear the full show every week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.